Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Samuel. This is chapter 13, and there are 23 verses in this chapter. It says the Lord to anoint this service, everything that's done. Father, we ask that you anoint the this message, this 13th chapter of 1 Samuel. And that all the commentary will be directly directed from you. We ask, Lord, that you anoint the letters, open up every heart, every soul, and every mind to receive you. Because that's really all we need is you. Lord, we don't need any particular way other than you. You are the way. You're a person. The way is not a road map, it's a person. The truth is not a bunch of words, it just happens to be you. You are the truth. And the life is not some word on paper, but it's you, a person. You're the life. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can get into the kingdom of heaven, can and see the Father, or see the Word of God, or see the spiritual things, unless they see it through your eyes, through your life, through your way, through your truth. And Lord, you're our healing, you're our salvation. We don't need salvation, we need you, the person. We have to be personally involved with your person. Lord, we need not healing, we need the healer. We want you, the healer, the person, living in us, and then we have all things. We don't need the word power, it's just a word, but we don't need that word, we need you. You are the power. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to you, and we worship you this evening, Lord. This morning, we get before you now and we thank you. Lord, anoint this and bring forth life, the way, the truth, and the life. Your person into each person's mind that hears this tape and to each person's soul, their spirit. Lord, we could leave the house of God if you... But then we would have no peace for us. So we might have more rest in this world. But there'd be no rest for us. So we can't leave you and do anything. You will not leave or forsake us, but only if we don't leave and forsake you. Leaving and forsaking you is leaving and forsaking everything. It's like suicide. And willingly, wantingly, and knowingly wanting to go to hell in the lake of fire. Lord, we mustn't let things disturb us or depress us. Because why should we, when we have everything, be depressed? Why should we let Satan come in and depress us and demoralize us and make us to believe that we're something that we're not when we are able to do all things in you and through you? We have all the power in the universe in us. We have salvation. We have the Savior. We have the healer. We have the prosperous one, the victorious one. He who conquered you, Lord, who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that you've overcome the world. We have all these things, and so therefore it's ridiculous. It's like insanity to be depressed. Lord, let us remember these things. As you build up yourself even more in us, and as we do it, we do build up more of you in us by reading and expounding and dwelling in the Word. Reading and dwelling on the Word, on you. Because this is you. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the thanks, Lord, for fusing yourself more and more into our minds and our spirits, our soul. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go. Here's two letters that came in now. Where are they from, Michelle? Where's the first one from?
Sterling, Colorado.
Sterling, Colorado. Now, where's that? Up near Denver or what?
Mm-hmm.
Don't know? Okay. All right. Well, we'll find out on the map. Okay, what do they have to say?
Beloved Pastor Alamo, I am writing you for the first time, hoping when this letter gets to your hands, you will be found enjoying good health. My name is Victor. I am in the hole because of a problem I got into. I was very sad, but I was blessed when a friend sent me some of
So this man is in prison, is that it?
Yes.
Well, then that's probably up near Florence, Colorado, Prison Valley over there, where they have Supermax and all those other prisons all in one place. Okay, and then what?
I was blessed when a friend sent me some of your world newsletters. I read them and reread them, and now I feel peace in my heart and my eyes have been opened. Thanks be to God. Now I feel different because your words are sweet to my soul. I used to be a Muslim, but since my brother in Christ sent me your newsletter, I received salvation. I used to believe in Muhammad, but now I know that his doctrine is not the same as the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. Could you please send me a Bible because I cannot...
Right, and Muhammad is not the way. He's not the person of the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, he has not conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is not all power in heaven and earth does not belong to him. Of course. Of course. Of course. All right, then forget, you know, the doctrine, actually it's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
The person of the Lord is, this is not just a book, it's a person. It's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This Bible. Then what?
Could you please send me a Bible because I cannot afford to buy one?
Absolutely. Everyone that writes us wants a Bible, they get one. We don't charge one penny for anything. Then what?
I also would like to ask if you could send me more for distribution so I can also win souls for the Lord.
Absolutely. As much as you want. And also if you put their names, send them in. We'll mail it to them and save you the stamp, or it'll save us the money if you ship it to them, too. It doesn't matter either way. Then what else?
Pastor Alamo, I want to tell you that I have never heard anyone else explain the scriptures so clearly and give them their true meaning from God in such an easy-to-understand way. Please also send me your book called The Messiah, thanking you in advance, V.V. from Sterling, Colorado.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, who's the second letter from?
It was from someone in River State, Nigeria, in Africa.
Okay.
It says, Dear Pastor Alamo, I bless the name of the Lord for spreading undiluted gospel to the ends of the earth through your ministry. Thank you for sending me another box of newsletters. The two boxes sent earlier have been distributed, and I was about to request another when the post office called me to pick up a box of newsletters. I know the Spirit must have ministered to the brethren. Honestly speaking, I take delight in distributing the Alamo newsletters because since I started in the year 2001, I've experienced tremendous financial and spiritual breakthroughs as never before. When one engages his time in what God loves, he rewards him by opening doors of heaven.
Absolutely true. So nice to see somebody else knows that. They've received that from the Word of God, and you can they know that it's true because they experience it. You just give your whole life over to the Lord, everything, the whole 100%, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength, and watch God start changing everything that happens in your life to the better. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
I have been distributing the Alamo newsletters just for the joy it gives me when people testify of the transformation power in the writing.
Right, so he's not doing it for the money. He gets the enjoyment out of seeing people saved. It thrills his soul to see that he's done something that caused somebody to get saved. After all, that's what the Lord saved us for, is to go out and save, win others to the Lord by doing what he says. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't call us into retirement or to, you know, relax or lounge around. He called us to get busy. On this side of eternity, we work, and when we get to heaven, it's like eternal rest. Amen?
Amen.
Of course, tonight we're not going to lay around up there either. We could if we wanted to, but we'll just want to do so much delightsome things there that I don't think I'll ever want to rest. Amen.
Amen.
But we rest from this wicked world. We don't have anything like any of these false, wicked government agencies harassing us anymore. No more taxes. Everything belongs to us. Amen.
Amen.
That to me is that's one of the major things that's going to be worth it. Plus, not to mention the constant state of ecstasy that we'll be in over there. Just constant state of incredible ecstasy. Oh, I can't wait. And what?
God started blessing us beyond our expectation. Dear Pastor Ulamo, the reason for this story is to testify and point out that God has been faithful to me and made me a partaker of His divine blessings. I really feel that I belong to Him. Your anointed newsletters so much empowered me to face and scale through difficult situations in life. You also make me understand that despite all the troubles, God has not abandoned me. I received indescribable inspiration from your teachings. Though I read the Bible, but your anointed literatures have opened my spiritual eyes. Sir, God bless you.
That's what everybody says. Amen.
Amen.
That's what everybody says. That's why the Bible says that we need teachers. You can read the Bible, but you need to be taught, like that eunuch that was in the chariot, one of Candace's, the queen of Ethiopia's men, says, I don't understand it. And so Philip told him what it meant. Amen?
Amen.
And baptized him. And so the Bible says we need prophets, pastors, teachers, and preachers. This is all to edify the church and to make the people of the church, the body of Christ, grow in power and to be able to have victory in your life and get the exact meaning of the Word of God so that you can start experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ every day and all of the benefits. And this man, you can tell, has really got the message. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of people just hear it and it goes in one ear or in one head and out the other. In one ear and out the other, I mean. Oh, excuse me. But this man got it. Amen.
Amen.
I got it too. I've got it. I've got the message. Praise the Lord. And amen. I just make sure this man gets plenty of tracks and God is going to bless him, reward him more and more. Just as he is, everyone you see do that. Like Buster, God has just blessed him financially. He's doubled and redoubled. And I think even more than that, he was telling me. He doesn't spend hardly any time at work anymore, but the money comes in twice as fast. Is that something? He just has a ball all day long serving the Lord. Glorious! Glory! Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Sir, God bless you. I appreciate your anointing. It has lifted me up. Yours faithfully, K.O. from River State, Nigeria.
Praise the Lord. Good to know you. It's wonderful to hear from all these faraway places with the strange-sounding names that the work of God is being done there, and we're helping. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Makes me feel real happy. All right, now let's go into chapter 13, 1 Samuel, with his 23 verses. Start out with the King James Version. Verse 1.
Israel's continued war with the Philistines, Philistia. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, verse 2, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. Verse 3. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. Verse 4. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. Verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Verse 7. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Verse 8. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Verse 9. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Verse 10. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. Verse 11. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the men were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Verse 12. Therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Translation, verse 1 through 13. Israel's continued war with the Philistines, Philistia. Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 42 years.
That's amazing, you know, how many people started taking over the ministry when they were 30 years old. That happened to me. Then I read in the Bible, Jesus was 30 years old when he started the ministry. And here Saul started the ministry when he was 30 years old. You know, it's just one right after the other in the Bible, 30 years old. And then they reigned for 40 years, 41, 42 years, and so on. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that something? It's amazing. It's kind of like that's, you know, what the story is. Then what? Of course, we can't retire in the New Testament here. We got to keep going. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus only was in the ministry for 3.5 years. But he did more in 3.5 years than all of us, anybody else, all the other people put together. Amen?
Amen.
Except in these last days, because all the people put together, he said, would do more than he did. Amen?
Yeah.
But it'll be him in them. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Verse 2. Saul selected 3,000 special troops from the army of Israel and sent the rest of the men home. He took 2,000 of the chosen men with him to Michmash, M-I-C-M-A-S-H, and the hill country of Bethel. The other 1,000 went with Saul's son Jonathan to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. Verse 3. Soon after this, Jonathan attacked and defeated the garrison of Philistines at Geba, G-E-B-A. The news spread quickly among the Philistines that Israel was in revolt, so Saul sounded the call to arms throughout Israel. Verse 4. He announced that the Philistine garrison at Geba had been destroyed, and he warned the people that the Philistines now hated the Israelites more than ever. So the entire Israelite army mobilized again and met Saul at Gilgal. Verse 5. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and as many warriors as the grains of sand along the seashore! Exclamation mark. They camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. Verse 6, when the men of Israel saw the vast number of enemy troops, they lost their nerve, certainly, and tried to hide in caves, holes, rocks, tombs, and cisterns. Verse 7, some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul's disobedience and Samuel's rebuke from the Lord. 8. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. They lost faith and belief. Verse 9. So he demanded, quote, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offering, exclamation mark, unquote. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Verse 10. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet and welcome him. Verse 11. But Samuel said, quote, what is this you have done, unquote. Saul replied, quote, I saw my men scattering from me, and you wouldn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash, ready for battle. Verse 12. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us, and I haven't even asked the Lord's help! Exclamation mark. So I felt obligated to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. Unquote. Verse 13. Quote, how foolish! Exclamation mark. Samuel exclaimed, you have disobeyed the command of the Lord your God. Had you obeyed, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. King James Version, verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Verse 15. And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him.
Read verse 14 again, please.
Okay. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord got, which the Lord commanded thee. 15. And Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. Verse 16. And Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped at in Michmash. Verse 17. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shual. Verse 18. And another company turned the way to Beth-horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Verse 19. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. Verse 20. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock. Verse 21. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. Verse 22. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. Verse 23. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Translation, verse 14 through 23. But now your dynasty must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already chosen him to be king over his people, for you have not obeyed the Lord's command. Unquote. Israel's military disadvantage. Verse 15. Samuel then left Gilgal and went on his way. But the rest of the troops went with Saul to meet the army. They went up from Gilgal to Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. When Saul counted the men who were still with him, he found only 600 left! Exclamation mark. Verse 16. Saul and Jonathan and the troops with him were staying at Geba near Gibeah in the land of Benjamin. The Philistines set up their camp at Michmash. Verse 17. Three raiding parties soon left the camp of the Philistines. One went north on toward Ophrah, O-P-H-R-A, in the land of Shual, S-H-U-A-L. Verse 18. Another went west to Beth-horon, B-E-T-H-H-O-R-O-N, and the third moved toward the border above the valley of Zeboim, Z-E-B-O-I-M, near the wilderness. Verse 19. There were no blacksmiths in the land of Israel in those days. The Philistines wouldn't allow them for fear they would make swords and spears for the Hebrews. Verse 20. So whenever the Israelites needed to sharpen their plowshares, picks, axes, or sickles, they had to take them to a Philistine blacksmith. Verse 21. The schedule of charges was as follows. 1/4 ounce of silver for sharpening a plowshare or a pick, and 1/8 ounce for sharpening an axe, a sickle, or an ox goad. Verse 22. So none of the people of Israel had a sword or a spear, except for Saul and Jonathan. Verse 23. The pass at Michmash had meanwhile been secured by a contingent of the Philistine army. Commentary, chapter 13, verse 1. This is a difficult passage because a number has dropped out of the Hebrew camps. 13 verse 2. Regardless of what the first number may have been, this event took place on the second anniversary of his reign. Saul forms a standing army at Michmash, 9 miles north of Jerusalem, and 5 miles northeast of Gibeah in extremely rugged terrain. It is 1,980 feet in elevation. Bethel is 5 miles northwest of Michmash, at an elevation of 2,890 feet. 13 verse 3. Geba is a town halfway between Michmash and Gibeah. Blowing the trumpet was an announcement of Jonathan's victory and a call to arms. Jonathan's attack was a signal for a war of independence from the Philistines. 13 verse 5. The Hebrew number may be 3,000, as some ancient manuscripts indicate, rather than 30,000 chariots. An army of 30,000 chariots would be the largest number ever recorded in the ancient world, and a minor power like Philistia would not have had that kind of strength. 13 verse 8. The frightened soldiers are already beginning to abandon Saul, and he obviously feels his leadership was at stake. 13 verse 9 through 12. The first rule of having authority over others is to be under authority oneself, under the authority of God.
Right, you can't be a leader unless you're a follower. It's impossible. A good follower always is a good leader. A person that cannot follow is never a leader. You notice when I'm picking somebody to take over a different position in the church, I look at somebody that's a very diligent person that is the same every day, and somebody that knows how to do what they're told to do, and are willing, if they don't know, they're willing, they want to train. But more than that, I look at somebody that is definitely of the Lord, because the person that is walking in the Spirit, you can put them almost anywhere. I mean, you can really put them anywhere, and they'll, because the Lord will tell you to put them someplace, and you know you can be sure, because they fear the Lord, that they're going to do a good job. They're going to seek the Lord until they know how to do it better than anyone. And every time I've ever picked somebody that way, that was walking in the Spirit, that they were a follower of Jesus, they always become a good, excellent person to take over whatever position the Lord tells you to give them. Absolutely. It never fails. And even if you read these self-help books like Think and Grow Rich or The Power of Positive Thinking, they will all tell you the same. I just happened to know that. I never read those books before in my life until I was much older. And when I read them, I thought, man, this is the way I just naturally am. You know, I'm just naturally that way. I've always been that way because it just makes good common sense. But even in those self-help books like that, they all tell you that, you know, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. You have to be a good follower in order to be a good leader. Every single one of those self-help books tell you the same thing. And I didn't really know how to put it into those words. But I know one thing, if I do whatever the Lord tells me to do, I am going to prosper. And then other people are going to see my example, and some of them will not do, they'll do the opposite. They think I'm square or something like that, and they don't want to do it. But then there'll be others that'll see the way that God prospers me and gives me the victory no matter what, where I go or whatever happens to me. And they want to be the same way. So God, a good follower always, absolutely always makes a good leader. Absolutely. I mean, you can just look at that in the Bible. Look at Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
Great leader. Followed exactly what his dad told him to do and kept the commandments of the Lord. Didn't let anything sway him one way or the other. So you can just go from one person after another in the Bible. And some people followed for a while, and then if they didn't follow, then something disastrous happened to him, like the Apostle Paul was told by the Holy Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. He said, well, I want to go anyway, and he got his head chopped off. Amen?
Amen.
But while he was following the Lord, he went through all kinds of trials and tribulations very smoothly, but he was a do-it-yourself kid for a long time. But you got to follow the Lord. Amen? And then he'll be able to use you in a leadership position. Go ahead. Like the Lord told me, and I was a do-it-yourself kid too, and he told me, you have to listen to your wife. And I was absolutely sickened by women in the world because I saw them to be so rotten. I wanted to find a woman that I could trust to be my wife and be loyal and not lie and... that would be kind and be a good mother to the children and would be sweet and, you know, to take care of the house and take care of me and everything. And I couldn't find one. So to me, they were all just a bunch of no value whatsoever. All the women out there in the world were just a bunch of what I, in my first testimony tract, I just called them, I laid it out just the way I was. I called them house pigs. Because they can clean the house and so on, but if they don't, you just kick them out and get another house pig. Amen? Somebody will do what you say. But you couldn't trust them out there in the world. You couldn't, they're just a bunch of pigs, spiritually and physically and mentally. And so I just didn't trust any of them. They asked me about one of the president's wives, and I told them, well, she's reputed to be a lesbian. She put up with his whoremongering ways, and so you figure out what she is, all right? A decent woman would never stand or put up for that, amen?
Yeah.
So she's not a decent woman. Not a decent woman at all. Now, they may mock at Susie and myself, but Susie was a decent woman, amen?
Amen.
And let's see how far you'd serve the Lord, too, if you were eaten up with cancer. It was especially a woman, a weaker vessel, you know. I can't blame... I just knew that she was going to die, though, that's all. She should have let me go ahead and do what I said I wanted to do. Let me get the tracks out then. Amen?
Amen. working men.
No, you're too rough. You're too crude. It's better to be crude than not crude at all. I've never heard that saying before, but it's better that to be crude and serve the Lord than to not serve the Lord at all. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
13, verse 13. Quote, the fool, unquote, in Scripture is one devoid of moral and spiritual character, one who says there's no God. Commandments of the Lord.
Yeah, so an idiot, now human language may say idiot or a stupid person is the same as a fool, but no, it says a fool has said in his heart there's no God. But a stupid person can just do a lot of stupid things but still believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
Like, I've seen a lot of people that I didn't consider to be too bright, but yet I could hear him praising and thanking the Lord. And so you make allowances for somebody like that, right? Like, we sent one person to bring our little daughter over to Daytona, Florida, you know. And instead, what she did is took him to Dayton, Ohio. And so I said, where are you? I called her on the cell phone. She says, at the airport by the baggage. So we're standing over by the baggage department, too. And says, well, we can't see you. And then finally I thought, uh-oh. I says, where are you? What town? She says, Dayton, Ohio. I said, well, Lydia, we told you to go to Daytona, Florida. Well, they both sound the same. I know she, you know, believes in the Lord and loves the Lord, but she, at that period of her life, she just wasn't too bright. Amen? Some people would call her stupid, right?
Right.
No one wants to say it because no one wants to be crude like I am. Amen? See, now they're saying amen. And Lydia's sitting right here. I don't talk behind people's backs. Do I, Lydia?
No.
She said, no. All right, so I'm just trying to make a difference to give an example of one of the people says that I shouldn't call people stupid because that's like calling them a fool and that there's terrible retribution for that. I'm not calling her a fool. She believes in God. Amen?
Yeah.
But she's just, well, we won't say the word. Okay, then what? But not anymore, right? After a tremendous amount, year after year, reproof on that subject and rebuke, now she would never do such a thing as that. She'd check the airplane ticket first, right? She's not answering. I guess she wouldn't. Well, maybe she's still, okay, let's go.
Commandments of the Lord. More than offering sacrifices or usurping the power of the priest is at stake here. God, not the king, was to be sovereign in Israel. 13, verse 14.
Yeah, God is, you know, it's like they say, take God. You know, the president is not my king. God is. Amen?
Amen.
The king of England is not my king, or the queen of England. She's not. God, you have to be loyal to God. They put patriotism over God. No, I'm patriotic to God. Amen?
Amen.
And I would love for them to keep the commandments of the Lord, the United States of America, the whole world. But they do the exact opposite, so I'm not patriotic to their cause. I'm patriotic to God's cause. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
13, verse 14. Samuel rejects the idea of a successor to Saul's throne. The rejection of Saul himself comes later. See chapter 15, verses 10 through 11. 13, verse 16 through 18. Ophrah. One raiding party goes to the northeast. Ophrah is about 5 miles east of Bethel.
Is that why they call Ophrah Winfrey? I always called it Ophrah. Well, we'll watch the Oprah Winfrey show, okay? Then what else? And what?
The second.
See, I told you I was crude. Okay, what else?
The second party goes toward the west. The third party toward the southeast. The strategy is to lure Saul and Jonathan and their soldiers out of the positions and force them to fight. 13 verse 19 through 20. The Philistines owed their military superiority in part to their ability to work with metal. This came from their contact with the Hittite nations and the nations around the Aegean Sea, A-E-G-E-A-N-C, the area from which they had migrated about 1200 B.C. Money was measured in weight rather than coins. A pim, P-I-M, weighed about one-fourth of an ounce.
Yeah, these drug dealers, they ship that money out of the United States. You can see them down there at the dock. They don't never count the money. They just weigh the $100 bills. They got them baled up like bales of cotton. And they've got them on pallets, and they just weigh the pallets. That's how much money they're making in drugs and send it out of the country. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what else?
13 verse 8 through 14. When we take our eyes off the Word of God and look at the circumstances around us, we often want to act with impatience or indiscretion because we have the senses of smell, taste, touch, sight, hearing. Those are good feelings to have because it doesn't make sense for us not to have them. But faith is over and above what our five senses are. Belief is that if God said it, that settles it, and we're going to do it. Confronted by the seemingly insurmountable threat of the Philistine army and afraid that more of his men would desert him, Saul acted irresponsibly by offering a burnt sacrifice himself rather than waiting until a priest arrived.
Rather than doing what the Lord said, you don't give burnt offerings there, and only certain people do that, and it has to be done at a certain place. Amen?
Amen.
But he thinks that sacrifice is better than obedience. But the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
He failed to trust in God's timing and thus disobeyed one of God's commands. If you break one, you've broken them all. The consequences for taking things into his own hands were great. His descendants would be denied the right to rule in Israel. Being patient when things seem to be running downhill or behind schedule is sometimes the most difficult part of having faith and belief in the Lord, but you'd better have it. You need to be true to God's will, even when it seems to be going not as quickly as we would like it to go. God's way is always the only way. Read 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 14. Peer pressure. We're all susceptible to the negative influences of what we see, what we hear, and what others say. We get pushed into rushed decisions by peer pressure and often find ourselves in trouble with God as a result of it.
Except me, nobody pushes me to do something when I know the Lord tells me not to do it. Amen?
Amen.
There's a prophet in the Old Testament, and the Lord told him to go and warn the people about sacrificing things unto idols, and he said as a sign that I'm a man of God, this altar is going to be split down the middle, and the offering, everything is going to turn into dust. And so as he prophesied it, it did happen that way. And then so the man says, well, can I have something to eat here? He says, no, I won't have anything to eat because the Lord told me not to eat anything or drink anything in this place. He says, well, an angel of the Lord came and told me I'm a prophet too. And just like all these people in the world today say they're prophets. But the Bible says that the man was lying. He was a liar. He wasn't no prophet. He says, an angel of the Lord came down and told me that you should come over to my house and eat and drink. And so the prophet knew exactly what the Lord told him to do. You know what I tell the guy and say, well, the Lord never told me that. If he comes and tells me that, then fine. Otherwise, I'm going on my merry way. Okay? But he didn't. He went over to the man's house, and he ate and drank. And when he left, a lion killed him. Amen? And the lion was found there still by the man. He didn't eat him up or anything. And his donkey was staying there. And that's just a pretty good prophetic sign that this was definitely of the Lord, because ordinarily the lion would have been eating the guy's body up. And he for sure would have attacked the donkey as well. But he was just standing there. And so that goes to show that you're not so, if the Lord, when you see what the Lord says in his word, then do it, okay? And don't let anyone try to convince you otherwise. All your peers and all the people in the world, or the people that are close to you, or the people that you think are wise, nothing is more wise than to do just what the Lord says and nothing else. Don't listen to anyone else, because if they tell you to do something other than what the Lord says, they're liars, and you're not to listen to a liar. Amen?
Amen.
Because the consequences are disastrous. He was a man of the Lord, but he didn't listen to what the Lord said. And you get to thinking, well, I'm a man of the Lord too. Somebody comes and tells you. Do you know how many people that have told me that they're people of the Lord? They all say it on television. And that's rare, you know, to see one that really is. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
This weakness must alert us to a defect in our own faith and belief in God, in our life, and our need for help that comes.
You're defective. You're not of the Lord if you listen to somebody else. The Lord tells you expressly, do not commit adultery. Do not commit a fornication. And then some evil spirit, seducing spirit, tells you to do it. Why? You know that can't be the Lord. That's the devil, amen? If he's telling you something other than what the Lord says. Or it's all right to lie. Or it's all right to be a lesbian or a homosexual because you were born that way. No, you weren't born that way. The Bible states that that's a demon possession. Well, I was that way ever since I was a child. Well, the demon entered you when you were a child then, okay? That's all it is. That's simple to understand, isn't it?
Amen.
The Lord says that you're going to hell if you're one. So God wouldn't send you to hell for an illness or something that you were born with. Because the Bible says all power in heaven and earth belongs to the Lord, and if he enters into you, that evil, weak spirit is going to leave your body, because this power of God in you will kick everything else out. Amen?
Amen.
So don't receive anything if it's other than the Word of God. Well, I'm depressed today. No, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just stay, let the Lord stay in you, and you'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever too. Amen?
Amen.
No, because some people say, they think I'm going to weaken from one day to the next. But a lot of people that are around me, they'll testify to you that I'm the same every day, aren't I?
Yes.
And I'm the same in front of people in the church or outside the church. Doesn't make any difference who they are, right?
Right.
From the peasant on the street to the president of the United States or the, you know, anybody, the king. I'm the same. I won't change for anybody, because I know that I'm of God and I'm not changing. My peers are the angels. Amen?
Amen.
God himself. That's who my peer is. And that's who my example is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that did right in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
I know that the angels in heaven watch what we do. And the Holy Spirit really watches what we do and knows what we're going to do in advance. Amen?
Amen.
So it's quite simple, quite elementary, my dear Watson. Just don't veer away from what the Lord says, no matter who tries to convince you to do otherwise. All right, then, go ahead.
This weakness must alert us to a defect in our own faith and belief in God in our life and our need for help that comes from the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing. Saul had this defect that refused God's help. Samuel had told the Israelites at Saul's coronation that if they all obeyed God's commands, all would be well. 1 Samuel 12, verse 14. But Saul allowed his men to pressure him into disobedience.
Yeah, if I saw my whole the whole army, if I was in charge of a big army like that, and I saw him fleeing, I'd say, like the Apostle Paul, Lord, all of them have forsaken me, but I won't forsake you. I'm going to stand right here. See, there's good examples in the Bible, too, like Paul, right? And Joseph, even though he got thrown in prison, he stayed faithful to the Lord. He would not commit adultery with that man's wife. Amen?
Amen.
You couldn't cut him up into enough pieces. He'd rather go to prison. He'd rather be killed than to do such a thing as that, because he knew his eternal soul was more valuable to him than that, and the testimony of him to that woman and to the master of the house and to everybody. Those that do what the Lord says, God will exalt you of one day. And he did. He made him the head of Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
So God will exalt you. You say, well, I'm going to prison. How will that exalt God or anything? Eventually, God will exalt you if you are faithful to him to the death as the Savior, the Lord Jesus was. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way we all must be to enter beyond the clouds. Amen? Then what else?
Israel was at war. In the midst of battle, it was customary to have a priest offer sacrifices. Samuel had promised Saul that he would come at an appointed time to do this. Saul waited for a while, but began to worry. He began to get pressured because of his troops. His troops were leaving him quickly. He knew that it was against God's law for him to offer sacrifices. But, there's always a but, he decided he could wait no longer and did it himself.
Yeah, I believe you, Lord, but in this particular circumstance, I'm going to break your rules. That was his downfall. There's no buts. Cut the word but out of the dictionary, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Let all your men forsake you. Go down the tubes, you think. But the Lord will raise you back up much higher than you ever would have been if you'll just stay true to the Lord. And he'll for sure do it. Just as you saw that man being healed from cancer the other day. Now this is his going on the 12th day that he's been healed. They said he wouldn't even make it home. And now for the first time in a year, he went to the drinking fountain and went and got himself a glass of water and drank it. He has never drank anything through his mouth, nor could he, without vomiting it up. He went and drank a big glass of water, and it stayed down today.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
And that hasn't happened for a year. And he's just praising the Lord and walking around very briskly in his house. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you want that kind of action from God, just be faithful to him. Because you don't, and God can turn you into worms immediately, or turn you into cancer, leukemia, or somebody that you love very much. So I've got a beautiful little daughter. I've got sons. I don't want any of them. I've got a wife. I don't want anything happening to them. I've got people that I love that surround me. And I don't want anything to happen to them. I don't want to be I don't want my testimony to be a bad example to them. Now, they may think that I'm a bad example in some things that I do, but show me in the Bible where it's wrong, okay? Okay, let's go.
Just as Saul finished his sacrifice, Samuel came on the scene. Samuel arrived. Quote, "How foolish!" exclamation mark, Samuel exclaimed. "You have disobeyed the commandment of the Lord your God. Had you obeyed the Lord would have established your kingdom over
Lord,
Israel forever."
Lord, but Lord, you know, and I was doing it for you. I was breaking the commandment for you. You're breaking the commandment for me, the Lord says, huh? You don't break the commandments for me. I told you to keep the commandments, amen?
Amen.
You're making up your own rules. Don't make up your own rules. Okay, then what?
"But now your dynasty must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and what you did was not after his heart at all."
But Lord, it's such a little thing. Yeah, touching the tree and eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil seems like a small thing to you, but you know what that is? That's direct disobedience to the commandment of the Lord. And that infuriates the Lord. It infuriates him, disobedience. It's the same as witchcraft. I made you out of the dirt of the ground, you little gutter. Bug you. And look what you've done. You've made a gutter snipe out of that which I created. You're not even worth spitting on. I'm going to send your soul to hell. But Lord, we just touched it. We had thousands of trees in that garden that you could have eaten from. I just told you not to eat from this one tree. It's like people today, they sit in front of the internet, the webs, you know, the internet, and they just sit there. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right there. And they just sit there hour after hour, day after day, just finding out what they can find. The knowledge is more important to them than being obedient to the Lord. Eat only from the tree of life, the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
Stay away from the damned computer. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, isn't it? And it's got everybody so occupied, they're absolutely mesmerized by that computer. Now, if you're shopping for something, I mean, that's it. And if you just do that, and like picking up the phone book or something like that, that's probably okay. But to just sit there all day long and fishing around for stuff that, just because you got a curiosity bug. Did you ever hear the saying, curiosity killed the cat? Then somebody else said, yeah, but satisfaction brought it back. Well, but satisfaction didn't bring even Adam back, did it?
No.
Or Saul?
No.
Or the rest of them. So it doesn't apply when it comes to the Lord, okay? All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
What you did was not after his heart at all. It was after your heart. The Lord has already chosen him to be king over his people, for you have not obeyed the Lord's command. Unquote. 1 Samuel 13, verse 13 through 14. Saul would suffer the consequences of his disobedience. If Saul had delayed his actions just one more hour, he would have kept his kingdom. Our tendency to be unduly influenced by others needs to be replaced with faith and belief, strength from God, and very much faith and belief in His will.
Yeah, there's a true story that you'll find in one of those self-help books. I think it's in Nathaniel, Nathan Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. I don't even have the book. I just glanced through it once, and I thought, man, the guy thinks, you know, business-wise, kind of like I do, only a little bit different. But anyway, he tells the story of this guy that was a junk dealer. His name was Sutter. And in California, there was like these people that were mining for gold. And they mined and mined for years, and then they just got sick and tired of it. Because they had to have some more machinery and everything, and it was just so costly. And they're sick and tired of digging in the earth, and all these years had gone by and nothing happened, so they just wanted to go home. So they sold all their gold mining equipment to this guy named Sutter, the old junk man. And Sutter said, "Boy." So he started to mine a little bit. 1/2 inch further in, he got the world's richest gold mine. They called it Sutter's Gold Mine. It's well known all over the world. 1/2 inch, the junk man became a multi-zillionaire. Huh? Mm-hmm. So they just lost patience, amen? If they'd have just went one more half inch or inch, that's what the story goes, I can't remember exactly, it was just like an inch or so, a half inch to an inch, and they would have struck huge veins, huge chunks, huge like veins of gold that amounted up to probably today's price of multi-billions of dollars. And they lost patience, amen? But this is even worse. You lose patience, and here, 1 hour later, here comes Samuel. And he could have kept his kingdom. But instead, he had to die on the battlefield, and his son, and the evil spirits got onto him, and he started seeking soothsayers. Oh, my God. Tribulations worketh patience, you know. You may think you're going through the most tribulation in the world. I've been beaten almost to death on several occasions in my life. And most people I know, and I've had the Internal Revenue Service take everything that I've worked for years, to took it away, mounted up to over $100 million. And I just knew that I'm of the Lord because I was saved with signs and visions and wonders. And I just knew that this isn't it. This isn't the end of the line. And then Willie Nelson decided that he was going to commit suicide when they grabbed his stuff from the IRS. I've been put through so much more than that. It's unbelievable. Then they went and threw me into prison for 5 years for nothing. I got a 6-year sentence. Just for righteousness, for believing the gospel. And somebody just doesn't get their own way during the day. Or, you know, some little something that somebody says to him gets them. They've printed all kinds of false things on me. And to this very day, if you look on the internet, there's just every kind of slanderous things trying to make me look worse than Hitler. And that you can't stand a little bit of adversity. No wonder you will burn forever in the lake of fire if you don't get out of that way of thinking. You're not going to ever prosper, or you think you're highly persecuted or abused. When I was just a little boy, I was beaten almost to death many times in a play reform school, which I didn't have to go. And some of you are tired of hearing that story, but you're the ones that are offended at nothing. Every day of your life. You really think you're going through it. Well, I tell you what you should do is leave. Because you're going to wind up in hell anyway. Because inside your soul you're murmuring and complaining. And you are not able to carry the cross. Even before I was saved, when I was a little kid, I carried the cross. I carried a tremendous cross. I wasn't the cross of Christ, but I just knew that there was something in store for me. I don't know, God just put it in my soul that something in the future. They say, "Well, yeah, well, you're a man, or you're this, or they, you, and I'm this, and I'm that." Just let me see you take one beating like that I took when I was a kid. Or some of the punishment to be put in solitary confinement with just one slice of bread a day. In a pitcher of water for day after days with nothing to wear, really in a cold cell that you can't even stand up and lay down in. Let's see if you could take that. That really is nothing in comparison to what I've been through since then, yet since I've been in the ministry. The character assassination, the dirty, filthy lies, the slander, all because of jealousy and hatred of God that people have. You're not going through anything. Some people live in fine houses, sleep in fine beds. They've got everything, that so much more than 99 9/10% of the people in the world have. And yet they want something else. Well, then they should go get it if it's troubling their soul so bad, and see what you're going to get. You're not going to get what the devil is telling you that you're going to get. You never do, you know. The devil's a liar. He's implanting it in your mind that you're going to get something, you know, maybe wealth, and some prince charming is going to be what you're going to get. Is, you know, there was a woman that was married to my brother Danny, and she thought that too, and she got married to this guy, and he beat her so much that he broke several internal vessels in her organs in her body, and broke her bones and everything, and she was in a body cast. And he wouldn't even allow her to see her own children. She left my brother for this guy. She was really going to do well for herself. Peggy. Stinky Peggy. And there's plenty of other stinky girls like her in the world. And then she finally escaped. She had to run out of the house in the nude, and a truck driver picked her up. Very much like what happened to Rolnick's wife. You know that story, don't you remember that when it happened?
Yes.
Do you, any of you?
Yes.
Huh? Say amen so
amen.
The people can hear it. Yeah. So some of the sisters went to visit her at the hospital. Now she's got married to another guy. That's the third guy that she got married to. She doesn't think it's wrong to commit adultery. She didn't think she had it good. But anything was better than what she got, wasn't it? Huh?
Yes.
All right, so you know, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence to the idiot. They always think, because the devil makes them think that they're wise. Just like he told Eve, thou shalt be wise if you sin. Yeah, keep thinking of the things the devil is saying to you. And the devil will make you wise. Is there any wisdom in the devil?
No.
Stop thinking that way. Amen?
Amen.
Be happy with what you have. Well, anyway, I want to be your pastor. Amen? And this is Tony Alamo. And until chapter 14, meditate on these things day and night. Because this is wisdom, what I'm telling you, of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And get wisdom with all you're getting. Get that, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Don't disobey God and listen to the devil, okay? Because the Lord will not like you if you do that. You understand?
Yes.
Just bite the bullet and take it, because there's a better life for you, if you will. God knows all about it. If you got a husband that you don't think loves you enough or something, maybe the Lord will kill him. And then you'll be able to go and get yourself a nice husband all to yourself and everything like that. And you'll be able to, you know, you'll do it legitimately. And maybe it's only an hour from now. Amen? If the guy is so bad. But if he's not bad and you keep wanting him to die or something like that, maybe he'll die and go to hell for wishing such evil thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
Did the Lord catch you this evening? Or this morning? What time is it?
7:07.
7 minutes after 4 in the morgue, in the morning. See how we work? While you sleep? Men?
Men.
Yeah, it might be just like Sutter's gold mine. Just another inch more. Or just another hour when Samuel will come and rescue you. Amen? Don't be unwise. Don't be a fool that doesn't believe what God says. Or don't be a fool that believes there is no God. And don't be a fool that doesn't refuses to believe that he hears, knows everything you're thinking. People have had visions about you, about going back to your mama and your daddy. That's adultery. Amen? Oh, my, my. How people hate the Word of God. And how God must hate you, according to Scripture. You can't prosper. Well, as I said before, I want to be your pastor. I want to keep you alive by telling you the truth. Amen?
Amen.
And until chapter 14, meditate on these things, 14 of 1 Samuel. And God bless you and praise the Lord. Good morning.